Good morning. It's Friday, the 27th of December, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm Ivan Philby, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin with the prayer of consecration. Are you ready? Okay. Wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. Praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Now let's consider this. Let's begin by thinking some more about these mysterious Magi. Where did they come from? Well, we don't know. Matthew only tells us that they came from the east. Now, some Bible scholars suggest that they were Persian, and others favor Yemen as the country of origin. Still others, India or China. Now, Persia is almost 1,000 miles from Bethlehem. Yemen, 1,250. India, around 2,500 miles. In China, is more than 4,000 miles away. It's a long journey, I hear you say. We agree. What's the point? Well, here's the point. These non-believers more than likely traveled for days to worship King Jesus. In contrast, Herod and the people's chief priests and teachers of the law didn't bother to travel 5 or 6 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to check out the Magi's claims about the newborn King of the Jews. Scripture teaches us that Herod and all Jerusalem were disturbed, but not enough to investigate the Magi's claims. They could have ridden to that small walled town with an estimated population of somewhere between 300 and 500 people. They could have gone in the lunch hour, but they didn't. Tragically, when it comes to things of the Holy Spirit, many Western Christians, including myself, are sometimes more like Herod than the Magi. We get comfortable, don't we? We want something brought to us. We want the flame of the Holy Spirit, but we avoid any inconvenience in searching for the fire that sets our heart alight. So we have to build Magi moments into our lives. So let's consider the implications for prophetic ministry. In his letter to the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul instructs members of this fledgling Gentile church to follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. You find that in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. Now, the English translation "eagerly desire" doesn't capture the nuances of the Greek word used here. The Greek word is onomatopoeic. Now, an onomatopoeia is simply a word whose sound helps to describe its meaning. So think with me about sausages sizzling in a pan. I know you can picture that, you can smell it, but think of it, the word sizzling, that's an onomatopoeia because it sounds like, well, sizzling. You can hear it, can't you? Two other common examples we use all the time, a balloon going pop or the swish of curtains. So you get the point. Well, the Greek word for eagerly desire, from which we get our word zealous, sounds like water reaching its boiling point. It's an onomatopoeia. So think of it this way. Paul is telling his Corinthian readers, and then through them to us too, speaking to us too, to seek spiritual gifts, especially prophecy, with the same intensity it takes to bring water to the boil. Now, David, a dear friend of mine in Seedbed, contacted me just a couple of months ago, and he told me he'd been reading that passage, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, during a recent morning devotion. And he had to pause and ask himself, do I eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy? And he concluded that he did not, and he had to repent. And he began seeking these gifts. Now, as it happened, a week later, he was visiting his son's church on the East Coast. He told me that the worship in the church service was beautiful and profound. And then he went on to write this. And I quote, I was deeply moved, sensing the profound love of God in response to this worship. I turned to my son and said, I think the Lord has given me a word for this church. He said, do you think he wants to share it today? Yes, he does, I said. He also wants me to go forward and get on my hands and knees in worship. And so I did. I went forward during worship alone, got on my hands and knees, and wept before the Lord near the front of the church. I was weeping with joy, not sorrow. I was experiencing what the Father feels when he is welcomed and how precious it is to him to be loved and welcomed by his people. After about 5 or 10 minutes, I returned to my seat. My son had checked with the church leader and the pastor, and they permitted me to share the prophetic word with the body. The pastor called me up to share and gave me the microphone, and I said something along these lines. Today, I felt the deep presence of God during worship, and he wants to say to you, well done. He wants you to know that he feels loved and welcomed here, and his presence is with you. He longs to be wanted, to be welcomed. And today, in this place, God feels welcomed here. I sat down. I did not know what the Lord was doing in people's hearts. But I learned later that when I went forward to pray, got on my hands and knees, the pastor also got on the floor on her hands and knees and began weeping. And others too were weeping. I've never had an experience like this before. It was overwhelming to me and so wonderful. Well, this is what can happen when we eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So let's loop back. Let's return to the prayer of consecration, which we prayed together just a few moments ago. And specifically, let's look at the third line. I lift up my heart to you. Now, as you know, our heart, the biblical understanding of our heart, is the center of our being. It's our will, our motives, our desires. So here's the question. What are you eagerly desiring? And then here's another question. What might happen if the next time we pray, I lift up my heart to you, we add a new line. Help me to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Well, I don't know what might happen, but tomorrow we're going to add it to our prayer of consecration. We're going to see what happens. The prayer. Lord, help me to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Amen and amen. And then the questions. What safeguards are you putting in place to ensure that you don't become like the chief priests and the teachers of the law who knew the scriptures but lost sight of God? Are you part of a discipleship band? If yes, how has it helped you maintain focus on Jesus? And if not, would you consider joining one? For The Awakening, this is Ivan Philby. See you tomorrow.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.